This may seem to be a little unusual, but it's not unusual because Jesus was always out on the hillside somewhere. Most of his ministry was spent on the hillside, ministering to the people out on the hillsides. As a matter of fact, not too long ago, he was over in Israel. There, while we were in Israel, we went up on the Mount of Beatitudes, and there we took the Holy Scriptures and read the Holy Scriptures to the people there. We were up on top of the Mount of Transfiguration. There we also read the Scriptures, and on the boat going across the Sea of Galilee, right close to the Golan Heights, where Israel was attacked by the Arabs. Right close to it, we preached the gospel on the boat there across the Sea of Galilee. I want to read a little from the first chapter of the book of Acts. But before I do, I want to read some from St. John. See, the chapter 21, I believe it is. I spoke of this morning, and it's no little wonder that God should bring it to my mind right here. It's the 21st verse. Then Peter, turning about, seeth the disciple whom Jesus loved following, which also leaned on his breast at supper, and said, Lord, which is he that betrayeth thee? Peter, seeing him, saith to Jesus, Lord, and what shall this man do? Jesus saith unto him, If I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? Follow thou me. Then went this saying abroad among the brethren, that disciple should not die. Yet Jesus said not unto him, He shall not die. But if I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? This is the disciple which testifieth these things, and wrote these things, and we know that his testimony is true. All right. Now, reading in the book of Acts, the Acts of the Apostles, first chapter, third verse. To whom also he shewed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days, and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. And being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, Ye have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? And he said unto them, It is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father has put in his own power. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem, and in all Judea, and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth. And we had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven, as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? The same Jesus which is taken up from you into heaven shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. All right. Brother Gary's Bible, I don't want to forget it. Let me forget to give these things to you here before going to the water. Now, I'm just going to briefly exhort you because we got service tonight, and I want you to be fresh for tonight, not worry out. So don't anybody get the idea that this is service this evening. We're not going to have it tonight because there's some people that will probably be there tonight that will be looking for some spiritual food. Now, it is not unusual at Bethlehem or with us for things to take place the way that they do. Our ministry has been for many years a very unusual ministry. And for many years, things has continually taken place in our ministry that has been different from many ministries. It's not that we're any different from anybody else. We're just another pebble on the beach. We're nothing special. But there is one thing that is special, and that is the move of God in whatsoever way that He sees fit to move. That's His business, and that's His way of life, and that is very special. Whether it be today or yesterday, tomorrow, or the next day or any other day, whenever God moves, something great is taking place. All right, so then we are speaking to you concerning the kingdom of God and the Holy Scriptures. I read to you here in the Bible, referring back to what I said this morning, if he tarry till I come, then when is the coming of Jesus? The Bible said he will appear the second time without sin unto salvation to them that look for him. So then he isn't going to appear to everybody, but he is going to appear to them that are looking for him. Did you know that many people are not looking for Jesus? Lots of people today are not interested in Jesus, and they're not looking for Jesus. They're looking for another way to make money or to get gain or to have prestige or something in this world. But they're most assuredly not looking for Jesus. But this is an hour when we are looking for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I read to you here that as he ascended up, they saw him go away into the heavens. Then the men that stood by, the men that came in white apparel, he asked those that were standing around, he said, "Why stand ye gazing up into the heavens? For this same Jesus that's been taken away, as ye have seen him go, he shall so return in like manner as ye have seen him go." And so it was that in like manner, Jesus was to return to us. Now then, it is a truth fact that something is taking place, and the world will not see it. Now the Bible said, "The wicked will not see when good cometh." Now, right there is where we've got to differentiate between the right and the wrong, and what God means there, and what He doesn't mean. See, the wicked shall not see when good cometh. Now then, if the Lord Jesus is coming the way that everybody believes that He's coming, then the wicked will see it and everybody else will see it. Isn't that right?
Amen.
Then the Scriptures is broken because it said that they would not see when good cometh. That agrees with the Scripture that where He said, "I will appear the second time without sin unto salvation to them that look for me." All right, somebody would say, "Well, Brother Pike, nobody knows the time of the coming of the Lord. Nobody knows that. The Bible said ye shall not know the day nor the hour of his coming. But we shall know when it's nigh." How many know what the word nigh means? That means pretty close, doesn't it?
Amen.
You say, "How close?" Nigh even at the door. When a man gets close enough to knock on your door, that's pretty close, isn't it? He will know when it's nigh, even ready to turn the doorknob and walk in. Ye shall know when it's nigh. All right, ye shall know when it's nigh even at the door. So then he said, "When you see these things come to pass, know that it's nigh even at the door." And we are the ones that see it come to pass. That means that it's right here at hand right now.
Amen.
It's nigh. How close is it? It's nigh even at the door. I made the statement this morning that the crown, having been removed from Israel, was now ready to be restored to Israel. That's evident because of the peace pact that's coming up. Whereas it's not going to immediately be restored to Israel because Jacob must pass under the rod. Now, I know that some of you are not ready to meet Jesus. I know that you're not. I know your spirit. I'm sent into the world for this purpose, to understand men's spirit. And I know that some of you, your minds and spirit, you're not near ready to meet God. You're not even loyal one to another. Women not loyal to their husbands, and husbands not loyal to their wives, and men and people not loyal to the pastor and loyal to the flock, not loyal to their commitments. They're not even loyal in their thinking. So I know that you're not ready to meet God, many of you. But on the other hand, there are some that are ready to meet God. They're loyal to the best of their ability. They're loyal. They're very grave and very sincere and very sober. They're not playing. They're really consecrated to the best of their ability. And they're trying their very best to be like Jesus. They're not surmising. Their minds are not filled with evil surmising and fault finding. and lust and covetousness and things of the world. But they're really serious at this moment about the coming of the Lord Jesus. All right, so then we're out here today on the banks of the lake for a great reason. Now in this morning, most of you know this. Most of you are spiritual anyway. The ladies and the men alike are spiritual. So it's not really that you wouldn't know this. Most of you do know. But this morning, a certain thing took place. I don't know whether you noticed it or not. But at the end of the service, I usually turn the service back to Brother Taylor, but God spoke to me this morning to call James Isaac. He told me what he was doing, and I was fixing to go out, step outside, and the Lord spoke to me to call the people up to the altar. Now, the voice of God is so very faint until you'll miss it if you're not careful. It's like the sunshine dawning, coming up in its tenderness in an early spring morning. You'll hardly recognize it if you're not real careful. But anyway, the Lord spoke to me, and I invited you up, and as the ladies are now, and the men are, they came up, and I watched them as like the bride on the right side, and the sons of God on the left side, and I watched them as they formed a pyramid. They came up just like a pyramid. And even Brother Gary Armstrong made the statement, said, Brother Pike, said, I believe this has to do with the vision that I had. All right, then I stood there, and then as I stood there, the Lord said, call James Isaac up. As I got ready to leave and we started singing the song, Crown Him Lord of Lords, then I called Brother James Isaac up. Brother Isaac came up. Remember, the Bible said concerning Isaac, the promised son, through thy seed shall all nations be blessed. Is that right?
Amen.
So I called him up. He came up just as I was getting ready to step out. You see, what the Lord was doing was saying that this is the last message that stands between man and God. That when this message is finished, the promised son will step into his place and that will be it. Now, I know you don't believe that. Many of you don't believe it. I know you've got PhDs and you got your background of religion and you got your reason and you're too smart for me. I know that. But while you're so smart, I'm still telling you what the Lord is doing and what the Lord is saying.
Amen.
And you can just figure it out according to your intelligence and smartness. Now, I'll just go on being what I am with my poor intellect and whatever he tells me. Just believe what he says about it. But it indicated that the last message was now in progress and was between you and God, and that when this is finished, that is it. There won't be any more. So then that means that when this message winds up or is finished, the mysteries of God are finished, and the Son of God, the capstone of the whole thing, steps right out in the place. So then it means that we are introducing the Lord Jesus to the world. If he tarried till I come, and then they would say, what do you mean, Lord, till you come? It is a true fact that John did tarry till Jesus come. Isn't that right?
Amen.
He saw him, and the Bible said it was as the sun that shined within his strength. Isn't that right? He saw him. He said, John, I was dead, but yet I'm alive forevermore. And he also saw the Ancient of Days. He saw the coming of New Jerusalem. What was that? It was the day of the Lord. Isn't that right? That was the day of the Lord. The Bible said John was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. That was the day of the Lord. Now, where are we right now? See, are we in the day of the Lord, or where are we at? Therefore, there remaineth a rest for God's people. What is that rest? The day of the Lord. Why do you say the day of the Lord? Because the Bible said there's a certain day that God spoke in of, wherein he shall rest from his labor. Seeing that these that were in the wilderness did not enter into God's rest, therefore there remaineth a rest for God's people. They that mumble and grumble and found fault, surmised all these evil vanities of life, the Bible said they did not enter in. They were cut off in their intellectual reasoning or the carnal mind. But seeing that this happened, the Bible said that though they died in the wilderness, yet there remaineth a rest for God's people. All right, so then we see that there is a rest for God's people. That he that has ceased from his own labor has entered into God's rest, which is the day of the Lord. A day is 1,000 years. 1,000 years is a day, which means the day of the millennium, the rest of the Lord, the Lord's day. So I read to you here that he will return. The hour of the Gentiles has come to a close. The day is all finished. It's at a close. The Lord helped this baptism up today so that we could come over here at this hour, being the hour of the evening sacrifice. Right at this time, the evening sacrifice taking place. This is the time of the evening sacrifice. It was in the time of the evening sacrifice, and God held it up till this time. Most of you remember the pitchers that was taken out here in the water. When the two pitchers was taken, how that one pitcher was almost faded out, and then another pitcher faded almost completely out, which had to do with the ascension of Christ and the things that took place out here. In the translation, showing that what we said about it, that this message is the message of the translation of the church. I know you don't believe that, but it is. It is the message of the translation of the church. And everybody throughout the world, I say that not boasting. I say that not lifted up, but it will absolutely happen. Everybody in the entire world will have to come to it. There will not be another message. It won't be a half a dozen messages. Or as in the past, this man have his church and that man have his church and another have his evangelistic ministry and another have his evangelistic ministry. Now somebody say, Brother Pike, you mean to tell me all of them going to quit preaching but you? No, every one of them can go on preaching providing they come to the revelation of Jesus Christ. But if they don't come to the revelation of Jesus Christ, they will become peddlers of the gospel and they will become people that do not know what they're doing, and they'll sell everything from holy water to shoestrings.
That's right.
Now, so then God will frown on them because there's only one message. Everything has to come to a centralization or a central point. God's government always works to a centralization. It has to do that. See, it has to come up to one individual. It has to do that. Somebody says, well, I don't understand that. Well, tell me this. How was it that all down through the Old Testament from the time of Adam, great men like Moses that stood on the mountain where the mountain burned with fire was literally shook and the nations literally trembled? Why was it that all of that worked from all the way down? It worked up into Noah, one man. Then it started, it worked up into Abraham, one man. Then it worked into Moses, one man. Then it worked right on down and finally into David, one king. Then it worked right on down, and when it finally come on down, it came on down to John, and everything come into John, the law and the prophets were to John. Then it was folded up, and then it went into one man, Jesus Christ. Isn't that right?
Amen.
Then it branched out into a membership. Isn't that right?
Amen.
And the membership spread it out everywhere. The body of Christ just went every direction and went out preaching the gospel. But in the end time, it was again to find a centralization point, and being centralized, a centralized government, it starts in again, narrowing down and narrowing down. That's why we spoke and said that A.A. Allen would die, Old Roberts would fall away, that Armstrong's ministry would be over, that Billy Graham's ministry would be over. Billy had nothing but trouble, even pies thrown at him since that time. It's just been proging into his finance. Everything has been that way. Everyone that we spoke of. And they'll continue to die out, every one of them. And I said, they'll try to make a comeback, try to stand anyway. But I said, they won't be able to do it. Why? Because gross darkness must cover the people. And when you say gross darkness, that means every ministry must go out. And I said, some of the last ministers would be David Terrell and Brother Franklin Waldens. As far as the Pentecostal move, those would be some of the last ministers that would stand, and they would eventually go out as they emerged into the coming of the revelation of Jesus Christ. Whereas Brother Terrell himself made the statement, said that he had received the revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ. Whereas a brother told me, said he didn't understand that because he'd never heard him preach it. Whereas he may have it, I don't know. But I do know one thing. I know that we have the revelation of Jesus Christ in Little Bethlehem. Amen. I offer no apologies for that statement. Now, I know some of you doubt it, but I don't have to answer for your thoughts. I have the revelation of Jesus Christ. Amen. God gave it to me.
Amen.
And I'm thankful. Now then, if he tarry till I come, what does it mean, if he tarry till I come? They said it went about that John wasn't going to die. But Jesus didn't say that John wouldn't die. But he just said he was going to tarry till I come. And he did. He tarried until Jesus come. And how did Jesus come? He came as the revelation of Jesus Christ. You say, prove that to me, Brother Pike. Take the Bible and turn right over there to the beginning of the book of John. It's called the Revelation, and you'll find out the first thing that he says when you start reading it, it says the revelation of Jesus Christ that God gave unto him, that is unto Jesus Christ, to show unto his servants the things that shortly must come to pass. And what was that revelation of Jesus Christ? Jesus said, I'm resurrected from the dead. Amen. As the sun shining within his strength. How many of you saw it out here as the picture was taken? Amen. As the sun shined within the strength. How many? Amen. Even Brother Bucky being a judge, I spoke of it. The law witnessed to it. All the prophets witnessing to it. He sealed it with his death. That which is old is ready to be folded up and laid away. When I told my wife that Bucky was going to die, I said, according to all I understand, lest the Lord undertakes, Bucky is going to die. I said, because the Lord revealed it to me in the spirit, and then I saw it in the vision, that he was to pass away. I said, Brother Darrell will just come right on over, whereas he did. How do you remember that
Amen.
Vision?
Amen.
Night before last, sometime in the morning, I was praying and talking to God. I don't know just what time. And I was praying, and I said, God, I want you to save my son, George Jr. Save David. Save my loved ones. I said, save my brothers and save my sisters and save my friends and save my neighbors. And I said, God, watch over my spiritual children at Little Bethlehem and save all of them. Don't let any of them be lost. Praying diligently as I do all the time for you people. And while I was praying for George Jr., I saw a vision. And in the vision, I saw George take up a reproach against somebody. And they was about to have it out, and I got in between them, whereas last night I did that very thing. Finally, when Junior simmered down, I looked, and there I had his heart in my hand. Like I reached inside and took his heart out. And I had his heart in my hand, and it was cold, and it was dying. He was almost dead. And it was as though I had it down in water. And all of a sudden, I kept saying, Lord, I want a testimony of life that you have saved the soul. And all of a sudden, The beating of the heart changed in such a way it made a lunch like that. And the Lord spoke to me through the heart and said, I've reached him. George Jr. spoke from without of his heart and said that I made it. So that I couldn't understand the water part of it. But see, here it is today. He came down here and he said, Daddy, he said, would you baptize me? Said, if I give my heart to God? I said, sure. He said, all right. Said, I'll get a haircut tomorrow. I said, no. Now, he said, but Daddy said, everything's closed up. I can't get one now. I said, well, we're prepared for emergencies. He said, Daddy, not out here. I said, yep, out here. So you see, the revelation of it was, my son, which was dead, is now alive. Wasn't that what God said?
Amen.
Kill the fatted calf. It's time for the feast. Isn't that right? Isn't that what you're saying? Is the marriage supper right here?
Hallelujah.
See, and Brother Ron came up to him, gave him that belt with the... morning star on it, the bright in the morning star. We spoke of it this morning. The sun, which was dead. We came over. When we got up here, Brother Bobby said, this is my garden. I looked at it. Bobby said, this is my tomb. I want you to go in there. So he took me into the tomb, and we come out of the tomb, and we walked all the way down here, and my son come up in a resurrection. You follow me? The foolish and the base things of the world to confound the wise. I know all you smart people, you won't get nothing out of this, but I'm talking to my foolish people that believe in the foolish things, that are base things, and they'll follow after me. The others are too smart for me to be their shepherd. But anyway, we come down here, and what happens? We spoke about the head being restored. George Jr. carries my name. The youth is always a symbol of resurrection. Isn't that right?
Amen.
And so then the head coming to the body. Is that right?
Amen.
How do you know God's son with his name is the head of the body?
Yes, sir.
Isn't that right?
Amen.
You say, well, Brother Pike, God is the head of the body. God is the life of the body. Isn't that right?
Amen.
God is the life of the body. All right, so then coming down here, the first thing that happened, Brother Michael starts with the shears. See, the same thing, Brother Michael, that head we spoke about this morning of the Christ child, and here he starts cutting. See, when Joseph come up out of the dungeon, he shaved. Ricky shaved off his beard. All that unsightly hair, the beastly part laid aside, and the Bible said that he appeared unto them in another form. Isn't that right?
Amen. Amen.
Even Georgia didn't know that form, too. Well, anyway, little Georgia come over a while ago and wanted to know, I think he and Fabian want to know whether I was going to bury him or not. They think I'm going to bury him, and really that's what I'm fixing to do. But anyway, they want to know what's happening to their daddy. He said, what are you going to do with my daddy? But here Michael began to cut the hair off, which again has to do with the head which has to do with the crown. Always the head has to do with the crown, having to do with the glory of God, having to do with the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is why that I said something about the hair when he had the tent affair. I said, y'all need to just leave him alone until everything's just right. If you'd have cut the hair off up there, it'd have been all wrong. Isn't that right?
That's right.
The preparation of man's heart is from God, whether it's evil or whether it's good. Did you know that?
That's right.
God
That's
prepares right. it. If it's a rebellion, God prepares it. You can't push him, you can't make him, you can't do nothing. You just be patient and try to understand God. And so then, when the Lord showed me it was of God, I tried to be patient, but I couldn't explain it to some of you brethren. There's some of you fellas you can't explain nothing to. You got that thing programmed up here in your mind, and it doesn't matter what Brother Pike says or God says or anybody else says. Your program up here is programmed like a robot. You're going to have it your way. But really, that's wrong, brethren. That's wrong to be like that. And I can feel the grain being rubbed when I do that. But it's wrong.
That's right.
See, what God does, God does.
Amen.
And whatever the Lord wants to do, we'll ask the Lord. Somebody said, well, I don't believe God wants them to have long hair. Well, why did he give Samson long hair? You can tell me after I get through preaching. God's got a reason for everything. Samson's strength was in his hair. So you don't know. He might want long hair today, and maybe he don't want none tomorrow. So we'll just do whatever God wants. That way we won't get confused over it. Somebody said, well, we don't have any Bible outline. Yes, we do. You can believe the Scriptures. They'll work out right. Now, the Scriptures don't confuse anybody. What confuses people is people trying to add to or take away from the Scriptures and make it work out according to what they think. But it doesn't confuse me as a minister. For many years I preached, it's never confused me as a minister. It's always been very clear. I've never been confused with anything except the different ones that want to add their knowledge or understanding or education or experience to it. See, when you've got 10,000 people or 10 million people and everybody has got their own programmed outline up here in their brain work, they're programmed just like a computer to do a certain thing, and this and this program to ski, and this and this program to race in boats, and this is programmed to be some movie star, and this is programmed to be a great president, and this is programmed to be a governor, and this is programmed to be a rich man. You got a problem. Did you know that? Because the preacher's got to reprogram everybody. Amen. Did you know that?
Amen.
Everybody. That's what happened to the rich young ruler. Jesus couldn't reprogram his mind. Jesus said, sell all you got, but he had his mind programmed for riches. God couldn't reprogram him. But now when Zacchaeus come along, he didn't care if he had to climb a tree like a squirrel or give half of his goods to the poor. He'd program his mind according to the pleasure of God. And the Lord said, this day I'm going home to eat with him. But you see, the thing that I read was the ascension of the Lord Jesus Christ saying, I will return in such a manner. All right, in a time that you think not, the Lord Jesus coming. The world will expect it, won't see it. But in a time that you think not, the Son of Man coming. Now you say, but Brother Pike, we know you. Brother Gary, we know you. Brother Bill, we know you. So, well, who is that fella? He's the carpenter's son. He's the painter's son. I know him. His dad works in the cotton mill. His dad is a farmer. But see, do you really know? Jesus said, who do men say that I am?
That's right.
They said, well, it's the prophets or some of them. But Jesus said, Peter said, what's your program? Peter said, well, it's altogether different from that. Said, it's different from that. And he gave a different understanding of it.
Right.
All of them had their outline and their thoughts and what they felt about it. But Peter said, I see it different. So then the Bible teaches that we're not to know a man after the flesh. When you look at a man after the flesh, you say, I know him. No, you don't know him. If you don't know him after the Spirit, you don't know him. You say, but I know who he is. You can't know him if he's dead and buried. How can you know him? Because that man isn't alive anymore. The body of the Lord Jesus Christ, members in particular, who is he? Who is he? Even John, they said, well, who is he? So you don't really know, do you? Just be honest with yourselves, you don't know.
Sure.
But you can know through the Spirit of God. Peter found out through the Spirit of God. But see, some of you folks are too brilliant. You'll never find out. But some of you believe in the foolish and abased things of the world that confounds the wise, and you'll find out. Because the Bible said God has hid it from the intelligent hid it from the brilliant, hid it from the minds of the wise and the prudent, made it revelation such as babes that are willing to learn. All right, so then we see God is doing something, and while the great intellectuals of today can't figure it out, they're all confounded, yet the Lord is walking in their midst. And like our Brother Hollis had the vision, was telling it a little bit earlier, Brother Hollis said, I had a vision, Brother Pike, and said in this vision, said the Lord himself was in the earth. And said the earth was just a shaking, like it was going into convulsions, and just like it was moving through the earth. Whereas that is true, God is in this earth. He's in your earth. How many know that? Right. It's moving. It's beginning to shake. It's the hour of resurrection. Yes. Yes. See, the things are beginning to happen. Everything is coming to the headstone. All right, I think they even got a picture where Jimmy Carter is somehow or another, I heard it today, I don't know just what it is, born again, they call it. Somebody was telling me. All right, now, so then, here we are again. And as the song says, here I am again, Lord. What are we doing out here again? Bunch of foolish people. We was out here not too long ago on this bank. Here we are again. Bad enough to come out here, as the world would say, to baptize. Now we're cutting hair out here. So the world can't figure us out. But I'll tell you what, it's not near as foolish as it seems. There's something that is great about it. It's not like running out to a basketball game. It's not like wallowing in mud over a football like a bunch of pigs. Somebody say, I love Jesus.
Amen. I love Jesus.
So then it's not that kind of thing. It's decent, upright mothers and daddies that love God, that's interested in the Creator of all things. I'll tell you right now, to turn cartwheels for Him or to do anything that He wants done is in order. How many of you know that?
Amen.
It's in order. Somebody said, well, you can't get beside yourself. God said to a prophet, get you some of that dung over there and get you some bread, crackers, or whatever, and go over and eat it. That sounded a little bit out of proportion, didn't it?
That's right.
But the prophet done what he told him.
That's right. Amen.
I could go on telling you quite a number of other things that might be astounded, but I'm sure that some of you understand. When Jesus made the mud pies, why did He do that? Now, why did He do that? I said, Lord, why did you go make mud pies, a man of your intelligence, and make mud pies and put it on a man's eyes? I said, now you know you didn't have to do that to heal that man's eyes. But the Lord told me, said I had to do that to confound the wise.
Amen.
They'll never figure out how you have to go through mud pies to get eyes open. All right, so God does it in His glorious way. We're nothing. We're nothing. We're less than the least of all of them. And we're nothing. And see Brother Jerry coming. And it's good. The Lamb getting here on time. We're fixing to have the baptism, and I hope that we've said something that might be inspiring to you, brethren. I don't say this in an abusive way. I don't say it to criticize you, because some of you are pure gold. But I say it because I feel the repulsiveness of some of the minds that come against me, and I have to let you know where you're standing. That's the only reason that I rehearse these things in my mind to you. If you'd get away from all of that and settle down and be like little sheep following the shepherd, I wouldn't have to deal with your mind up here. See, all I'd do is deal with your heart and you'd be all right. But I've got to break through that old callous mind and thoughts of yours before I can ever get down to your heart. And I love all of you and appreciate you. I think you're the grandest people in the world. And it's not just these at Little Bethlehem. There's people in the islands. There's people around the world. And they are your brothers and sisters, hundreds and thousands of them that you'll find out. They'll come together, all of them, and they'll come together for one thing, the revelation
Amen.
Of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
I say, I don't believe it. Let's just wait and see. I've always said this. If I'm right, it'll come to pass. But if I'm not right, then the whole world will know that I'm a liar. All right. How many people are there to be baptized? Would you be kind enough to lift your hands and let me know? Brother Raymond and Brother Philip. Mike wants to be baptized. Brother Johnny. George Jr., Joe, and two or three of the smaller ones asked about being baptized. Our brother right here. Tell me your first name.
Pascal.
Brother Sebum. Pascal. Am I got it right? Brother Sebum. Pascal. Okay, anybody over here? The sister right here? Anybody else? Okay, is that all now? Joe, Brian, where's Brian? Danny, now, I'm always reluctant to baptize little folks. I'm always reluctant. I have baptized them in the Ohio River and some places I baptized them. But I'm always reluctant to do it. It isn't that they don't have a right to be baptized. Jesus, at the age of 12, was about his father's business. And they can be about their father's business. But the thing is that Jesus himself, even though there was a specific purpose in that, he wasn't baptized until many later years, even though he started his ministry early. And yet, I don't want to refuse anybody. So I take the little children and I dedicate them to the Lord. That's what I do. And have them to where they can feel safe in the arms of God because they dedicated the children back there at a very early age, even in the Old Testament, even at 8 days old. So I dedicate them to the Lord and I try to work with them as much as I know how to work with them, pointing them until to a specific time if they are not old enough or cannot grasp it, to a specific time of life when it is going to be a positive thing with them and with God. All right, if you're ready to... Okay, it would have been a lot better if we'd got a lot early. Thanks. Anybody's got any doubts about winter? It's come. Now, this water over here is so ideal to baptize in when everything's warm. But I tell you, as the weather gets colder, it's really some experience. Now, it's really not all that bad after you stay out here. I've just been preaching and I got sweaty and the change of my body and all so much, it makes a lot of difference. Perhaps it won't even affect you like that. I'm getting warm already, no longer than I've been out here. Now, I wonder, brethren, if we could sing a few songs, could we? Could we sing a few songs? Maybe Brother Atlee has got his camera to where he can focus it on some of the brethren there as they play, and we sing together, get a shot or two there, and a shot or two of them singing. And let's sing for the glory of God. Can we do that? All right. That seems to be a pretty good place right along here to baptize. If the sun holds like it is, move over that way a little, Brother Taylor. If the sun holds like it is, I think it will be all right. Well, let's start off with that little chorus. It's kind of an unusual baptism song, but let's start off with the chorus, "They That Wait Upon the Lord." Can we?
They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as an eagle. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and never faint. Teach me, Lord, teach me, Lord, to wait.
Now as we sing, we need to sing much louder than that so the mics will pick it up. If we don't, we won't be able to get what we're after. I see the brother going over yonder to get some shots. If he moves around, he'll probably get some good shots at a long distance. He can do it with his camera. All right, can we sing it again? Let's really sing it now. Sing out for the glory of God.
They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as an eagle.
Nothing like it. Let me say this to you as I said to Rick today. Folks,
There is nothing like serving Jesus. I've tried most everything. I've been out. And I know there's nothing like serving Jesus.
Amen.
There is nothing like serving Jesus.
Amen.
When I say that, I don't mean serving Him like the people. Some of them have tried to serve Him with a groan and a moan and a grumble and a complaint, talking about how poor they are and how the Lord is, you know, they're just suffering for the Lord's sake and they barely can make it. I'm not talking about all of that stuff. I'm not talking about that. To me, that's not serving God. I'm talking about serving God with joy, peace, and righteousness in the Holy Ghost. Serving God with the abundance of life and serving God in a vision for world evangelism, pulling souls out of the fire. Everybody with a vision to do something for God and manifest their talent to God and to the world so that all the world may see the greatness of the sons of God. The joy and jubilance of Christian living. If you're not serving Him that way, you miss the boat. You don't have what I'm talking about.
Amen.
So then I ask you to let's get together and serve God and do something for God. Be a leader for God. Be something for God. Rise up for God. Get out of the hog pen of that old intellectual reasoning, that old corruption of fault-finding and jealousy and resentment, all those kind of things. Get out of that. Get out of the lust of the flesh, desire of the world, and let's get caught up into the heavens. Now this reminds me of the Sea of Galilee. The Bible said Jesus got into a little boat and shoved out from the bank and taught the people. He had to get out in the boat in that day because so many people came that they would have just overrun Him, and he just had to get out away from them to where He could not be crowded in as He spoke to the people. And then putting this little boat out here like this, it really reminds me of that very thing. Now then, everybody that gets in the boat, be ever so careful. You've heard that, don't rock the boat. We've got a lot of expensive equipment there, and we don't want to rock the boat. So set real steady, and nobody go into the boat except those that are needed. We don't want any but one or two, because if we get more than that, we're going to have problems. God, how many love Jesus?
Amen. Praise the Lord.
You know, the Bible says the Lord will teach you patience. How many of you are learning patience? I guess you think that I'm the best patient teacher in the world. But I don't mean to prolong things nor to cause problems. Let's sing another course or two, and as they come, we'll get ready to baptize, because it won't be long now. They'll be getting some pictures. And I think it will work all right. I don't know whether they're trying to get up their courage or what. Philip said to the eunuch, "If thou believest with all of thine heart," do you believe with all your heart? "If thou believest with all thine heart," see, there's a requirement for baptism. And that requirement is that you believe with all of your heart. A man should never be baptized in the name of Jesus for the remission of sin, lest he believe with all of his heart. Now, I could have preached a message out here on baptism in the name of the Lord Jesus. It would have been good for Raymond and for Philip and some of the others. Many times I have preached out here messages on baptism, and some of them we have in the church on tape where I ministered there. But the thing is, I went a different route today. But if there is any misunderstanding or any questions in your heart, it's right. It's right. Baptism in the name of our Lord is right. Just remember, there is none other name given. Neither the name Father, neither the name Son, neither the name Holy Ghost. None other name given under heaven wherein is salvation, saving the name Jesus. And we are not baptized into anyone's death except the Son of God. If we are baptized into anything except the Son of God's death, we have fell short of the things of God. So then we are dead with Him. Paul said we are baptized with Him into death, having put on the Lord Jesus Christ, and that through baptism we do this. Into the name of Jesus. He died for us. It's His name that holds the remission of sin. Therefore, we must be baptized in the name of Jesus for the remission of sin. On the day of Pentecost, Peter said, "Repent, every one of you, doctors, lawyers, presidents, Brother Pike, Brother Branham, Brother Adley, everybody, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. And he had the keys to the kingdom. Be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. That you might receive the gift of the Holy Ghost, for it is unto you, unto your children, and Brother Pike's children, Brother Bill's children, and all that be afar off, even as many.
Amen.
The Lord our God shall call every one of them.
Amen.
Come the same way. The same day, 3,000 people heeded his word and was baptized in the name of Jesus. And remember this, many had been baptized in many other ways. Isn't that right? Many had been baptized many other ways. Some of them in the Red Sea. Right. Some of them under John. But not one of them was accepted. Is that right?
That's right.
Paul in the 19th chapter of Acts rebaptized them in the name of Jesus. All of them speaking the same thing. And the Bible said that 3,000 was added unto the church. That was the first church. There was no church till the name Jesus came, except the church in the wilderness. All right. So then, if you have any questions or any words or whatever, we got tape. Glad to talk to you about it and do everything we can to help you in understanding the things of God. But it's sure. We can carefully give you the understanding all the way back through the history of the Scriptures. And I can say this, as most of you know, there is no place where anybody ever baptized anybody by saying the name Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. There is no such baptism in the Bible.
That's right.
When God spoke of the baptism in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost in Matthew's, he was talking to the 11 disciples, where Judas had committed suicide, and those 11 disciples, led by Peter, who had the keys to the kingdom, went right straight over, set up the first church, and baptized every one of them in the name of Jesus Christ, which was absolutely a breaking of the Holy Scriptures, a violation of God's Word. Therefore, the Bible should be thrown in the river if that's the case, or either it was the fulfillment of Matthew 28.
Amen.
I challenge anybody anywhere in the world to show me or prove to me that that was not the fulfillment of Matthew 28. And I've said this, if Matthew 28 wasn't fulfilled in Acts 2:38, it never was fulfilled throughout the entire Bible, because there's no record of it. So then it was the fulfillment of it, because that is the name of the Godhead. The fullness of the Godhead dwells in Jesus. Jesus Christ himself is the only human body of the Godhead. The Father is a spirit, and the Holy Ghost is one spirit. God the unpersonified. God is the Holy Ghost, the personified after the crucifixion. And the Son of God is the incarnate part of the Godhead, the only visible part of the Godhead to humanity. One spirit and one body, one calling, one faith, one God, one baptism. That in the name of Jesus. All right, if you believe with all your heart, Greg, so you may be baptized. Just hold your nose real tight like that. Father, I baptize this my son in the wonderful name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins.
Somebody say hallelujah.
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 Glory. Glory. Glory.
Glory. Hallelujah.
Praise God. Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Glory.
Hallelujah. God will bury you beneath the water, and when you come up, the old man is left behind, and forever you are a new man in Christ Jesus. Isn't that right?
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Praise God. Let's sing that little chorus. Shall we gather at the river? Blessings of God came down.
Hallelujah.
John
Hallelujah.
Baptized him. Out of the heavens came that holy dove, that Holy Spirit. The voice from heaven said, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased."
Amen.
You know, the original rendering of that says, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am pleased to dwell."
Amen.
I'm glad God's pleased to dwell in us.
Amen.
You love him?
Amen.
How sweet, how wonderful. Let's sing this little verse together. Sing them over again to me. Spoke words of eternal life. Spoke words of eternal life. Said, my words are spirit, and they are life. And by his word, he cast out the unclean spirits. And by his word, he sent his word and healed them. And by his word, he said, you pass from death unto life. Isn't that right?
Amen.
Transformating word of power. All right, who's next to come and be baptized? The Lord Jesus has saved your soul, forgiven your sin. Believe with all your heart, for Christ's sake, your sins are forgiven. You believe remission of sin is in none other than the name of Jesus. All right. Praise God. Father, I baptize this my brother in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ for the remission of sins.
Hey!
Amazing grace, how sweet a sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. I was blind.
Aren't you believe with all of your heart? The Bible said, if thou believest with all of thine heart, thou mayest be baptized. Father, I baptize this my brother in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. Let's sing this little chorus while the next one's coming.
Swing low, sweet chariot, come for me. Coming for to carry me home.
Father, I baptize this my sister in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ for the remission of sin.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Glory, hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Praise God. Hallelujah. Getting better and better.
Amen.
Can you sing that song? Let's go on, let's go on. Talking about that good old way.
Let's go on, let's go on. Talking about the Lord. Well, I'm feeling so much better. Talking about that good old way. Feeling so much better. Talking about the Lord.
Exciting thing I know. Hallelujah. All right, who's next? Keep rolling. And give me a try. Give me C. And we'll give. Like such a wonderful person, and I believe that he sincerely loves Jesus. Praise God. Father, I baptize this my brother
praise
in the wonderful name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ for the remission of sin.
Thank you, Jesus.
Let's sing this little song, reach out and touch the Lord.
Reach out and touch the Lord as He goes by. You will find He's not too busy to hear your heart cry. He's passing by this morning.
Over with Raymond, and he also loved the Lord. You love the Lord with all your heart, don't you? You believe that God has, for Christ's sake, forgiven your sins. Praise God. I can tell he does. He believes that. All right. Remission of sin in the name of Jesus. How do you believe that? Praise God. Hallelujah. Father, I baptize this, my brother, in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, for the remission of sin.
Amen. Praise God. Amen. Praise God.
Amen. Praise God. Lord,
the
Son of the Lord,
is our watchword and song. Lord, the Son of the Lord, as we march along, we'll sing, shouting all day long. Lord, the Son of the Lord, forever.
Praise the Lord. All right, we got a slew of little folks, others. We've got a slew of little folks here that want to be baptized, and I told you the conditions of how that I work with these little fellas right here. So then I want him to come on out. If they will, all of them come on out here where Brother Pike is. Praise God. Now. Jesus said, suffer the little children to come unto me and forbid them not. Did he say that? Right. I don't want to forbid them, but I want to try to do it the way that God would have it done. I want to try to do it that way. So I tell the little ones that here, as I baptize them in the name of the Lord, look at me now, Joe. Everyone, look at me now. And listen real close. As I baptize them in the name of the Lord, I want to ask a question. Brother Brian, do you really believe that Jesus has saved your soul? Are you old enough to know anything about Jesus? But the Bible said to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. Isn't that right?
Amen.
How many of you know to do good? If you know to do good, raise your hand. Are you sure you know to do good? The Bible said to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, it is sin. Isn't that right? And the Bible says you have to be baptized for the remission of sin. Isn't that right? Do you believe you know what good and evil is? Do you believe you know that? And you believe you know? You believe you know? You, Danny, Joe, Mike. All right. Now, I'm going to baptize these little ones as I dedicate them to God, calling on the name of Jesus, just like they did in the 8 days old. Nothing out of as I said a little earlier, Jesus started, he wasn't baptized until he was much later years when he met John, when he started the actuality of the manifestation of his ministry, which was for a purpose, but in that day, the priesthood started at 30 years old. Whereas our day, it is different. But the thing is, it was never that way with God. That was the way that they had it set up with the Jewish people. But actually, with God, it was always this way, that he had the little ones dedicated to God, and to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is a sin. So I'm going to baptize these little ones on the strength of the things that I told you here. They believing in the Lord Jesus Christ. They say that they do know that they do love the Lord and that they're going to serve God. Now, you say, but Brother Pike, I don't believe they'll ever do what I do. They're not expected to do what you do. The Bible said, to whom much is given, much is required.
That's right.
They're expected to do what they know to do.
Amen.
Isn't that right?
Amen.
All right. You're praying right to do everything that you know to do to please Jesus, even when you have tempers and whatever. Is that right? You're still going to resort to the Lord and call on the Lord and try to stay away from any worldly thing that's displeasing to Jesus. Is that so with all the little brethren? All right. It's a very serious thing now. Father, in honor of your precious word and name, and on the strength, Lord, of these little fellows' knowledge and conviction, Lord, until a greater day, Father, when you may require, Lord, the baptism in your name, Lord, at a time when they know more, Lord, until that time we commit them to thee, Lord, in a dedication as we baptize them in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, for the remission of sin. All right. Somebody say, I love Jesus.
I love Jesus.
Praise the Lord. Praise God. I felt today to do this because I felt that this had a great significance in getting over the Jordan.
Amen.
Praise God. Father, I baptize this little brother in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins.
Hallelujah.
Praise God. All right. They're getting a two-way thrill out of this. Father, I baptize this, my little brother, in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins. Father, I baptize this, my little brother, in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, for the remission of sin.
Praise God.
Praise God. Come on over. Praise God. Father, I baptize this, my little brother, in the name of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ for the remission of sins.
Hallelujah.
Father, I baptize this, my little brother, in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. Father, I baptize this, my little brother, in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ for the remission of sins.
Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah.
Everybody say hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Praise God. Let's sing another chorus together. All of our little folks, you know, you don't have to be big to love Jesus. Isn't that right? The Bible said, out of the mouth of babes and sucklings, I have perfected praise. The thing that shook the Pharisees and the scribes up when Jesus went into the temple, the little ones about this size, maybe smaller, kept saying, Hosanna to the Lord, Hosanna to the Lord. And they said, this can't be. Folks, don't do that. You know, little folks, don't do that. Jesus said, have you never read in the scriptures where it said, out of the mouth of babes and sucklings, he hath perfected praise?
Amen.
Can you praise the Lord, little ones? Can you lift your hands?
Praise the Lord Jesus. Hallelujah.
All you little folks up there, lift your hands and praise the Lord, brother.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Let's lift your hands up. Let everything you have with, praise God.
Glory to the Lord.
Little girls over here, lift your hands up right over here. Lift your hands up, Isaac. Lift your hands up and let's love God.
Praise the Lord Jesus. Hallelujah.
Lift your hands up. That's right. Let's
glory
love Jesus
to the Lord.
Here.
Hallelujah.
Let's all of us love Jesus.
Praise the Lord.
God. Father, we thank you for this.
Thank you, Jesus.
Father, for the great honor.
Lord, thank you for this opportunity
to worship in the name of our Savior
today,
and
Jesus.
Lord Jesus Christ.
To love you, God,
with
all of our hearts.
Help us, Lord.
Forgive us, Lord, for our sins. Jesus, may we honor thee, Lord, with all of our hearts. Forgive us, Father. Help us, Lord, in the name of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Father.
Little twins, I wanted them baptized for a long, long time. Because all of my house, the Bible said Paul took them and all of the house that night and strictly baptized them. And all of mine had been baptized but the twins. And I kept waiting because I wanted them to know what they were doing. And when they come and ask me, then I knew that they would know what they were doing. And that this had a special significance. The tribulation coming in. These two twins coming out here today. You better believe it. I'm telling you something that you need to try to get into and understand.
Right.
Because there's really something to it. It's hard for you to believe, I know. But these little foolish things that seem so insignificant is such great things. All right. It looks like that we're ready to come out of the water. The sun is going down and we can get a towel or something.